Good morning. It is wonderful to see you today. We have the heat on. Can you believe that here in spring? But that's just what happens sometimes. Jim mentioned that we're going to be having a workshop for the men this afternoon. I'm very excited about that. 4:30. I don't plan on going 50 minutes to an hour. He may know something I don't, but we'll probably go a little shorter than that. I really hope you can come out and be part of that, men. There's as many as 50 who participate throughout the year in distributing the emblems, and it's very important. We're going to be talking about what we do every first day of the week, partaking of the Lord's Supper. And, of course, we'll also talk about the contribution, giving of our means, and the logistics of all of that involved. I want to ask you, as we begin this morning, have you ever gone to your closet, looked inside at all the clothes, and said to yourself, I don't have anything to wear? And what you mean by that is not that you don't literally have something to wear, but maybe nothing appropriate for what you're getting ready. Or maybe you don't have your favorite outfit and or combination thereof. So that happens sometimes. We all understand that there is a big difference between going to a funeral and going to a country music concert. We're going to dress a little differently. In our culture today, in American culture, we very often dress down more and more. We know that. We see it. It's just part of what's going on in our society. In the workplace, though, many of us are expected to dress a certain way. It may be a professional attire. It might be that safety is of primary concern, and so that's going to affect the type of clothing that you wear, the material. What about coming to church, though? What is our dress code? What is it that we're expected to do, whether it's Sunday or Wednesday or any other time? I want to tell you, there is not some commandment in the Bible that says thou shalt wear a coat and tie on Sunday morning, or ladies wear a nice pretty dress. You don't see that anywhere. And yet I do believe that there are some principles that will help us, that will guide us as we think about what we're to wear as we get ready for worship. What are we to pull out of that closet as we dress to worship? I want you to turn with me in your New Testaments, first of all, this morning, to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 2, as we think about a principle. As we consider together, first of all, this morning, we need to dress modestly. This is a great passage for us to go to, and we often do, when we talk about modesty. We'll do some of that this summer as things heat up. What's interesting, though, is that 1 Timothy 2 is actually about the assembly. He's talking about how people are to pray in the assembly, how the men of the congregation are to lift holy hands, he says. And he also does talk about women and their attire. You know these verses. You know them very well. Let's read together. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Again, writing about the assembly. Paul says, likewise also, that women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel, with modesty and self-control, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly attire, but with what is proper for women, listen to this, who profess godliness with good works. And we'll stop there. There's something very interesting going on in these verses. When he talks about modesty, we understand that very often we'll talk about that. That's describing clothing that is not provocative, and it's going to be long enough, not too tight. But is that really what Paul is getting at in these verses? The length of a skirt or how tight our clothing is? He uses two words that are very similar to each other. He says that women are to adorn themselves in respectable apparel, as the ESV renders it. So adorn and respectable. I know your translation may read a little differently. The Greeks referred to the universe as the cosmos. And behind that word is the idea of orderliness. It is all well organized. Isn't that an amazing testimony to the God of the universe who created everything? I mean, we can determine the path of stars and planets because everything is with clockwork precision running perfectly in the universe. And they could look up into the skies and see that. And so they called it the cosmos. You can hear a word that we use in English, cosmetics. Any of you ladies know what that is? Of course you do. Your makeup is cosmetics. And it is saying that you're gonna use them to make yourself orderly, well arranged, very pretty. And that's the connection with those words. And so here he says that women are adorning themselves in respectable apparel. Another way to express that is that women, and men too as well, of course, we are to dress appropriately. I remember one time when I was living in Louisville. We had just started preaching. I was in my early 20s. And I went to a singing. And I wore a suit and tie. I was overdressed in that part of the country. Wasn't used to that. And so, sometime later, after that 2-year initial program that I was in, I ended up in North Alabama, Coleman, Alabama. Spent 6 years there. And early on, I went to a singing. And so I wore what everyone had been wearing in Louisville. I wore a nice polo shirt. It was ironed. I was underdressed because guys there were wearing suits and ties. Right, Tim? You bet. That's just part of that part of the country. That's what they do. So there is this idea of dressing appropriately. Yes, I understand. Our skirts need to be long. Our clothing should not be tight. But it needs to be appropriate. It needs to be well arranged, as it were. And what is the focus here? Is God in these verses saying, now here's the line. This is where it's supposed to be. Rather, he is focusing on our hearts. We're talking about godliness. And it's not so much the outward appearance, but rather the inward. In this day and time, what women did, not Christians necessarily, but women did, is they would show off how rich they were by braiding their hair and putting gold and jewels and all kinds of pearls in their hair. And of course, they'd wear it on their clothing as well. And what they were doing is saying, look how wealthy I am. And Paul says, you don't need to be doing that in the assembly, that's for sure. And so what is their Sunday best? What is it that they're wearing in the assembly? He says, good works. Profess godliness by what you do in your life. God still wants our hearts. And so he is expecting us to come and worship him because that's what we're here to do. We're here to focus on our relationship with God, to praise him because he is worthy of praise. And he wants us to do it in a way that is going to be pleasing to him. And so that's one aspect of our worship. But does it really matter what we wear? Have you ever worn flip-flops? Sure, you have, I'm sure, as you go to the beach and you walk on the sandy shore, maybe in Galveston, and they're very convenient. You can flip, take them off real quick and put them right back on. Could I wear flip-flops to the assembly? Would you be okay with that? I tell you, when Mr. Flip and Mr. Flop invented the flip-flop, I don't think they were intending for us to wear it in the assembly. That's just me. And so that leads me to a second observation I'd like to make about our attire. As we think about some principles from God's Word, I want you to consider with me also this morning. We need to give God, we must give him our very best. God's Word always emphasizes that he is awesome and all powerful. You can go no further than the Psalms. I'm turning to Psalm 89. I'm going to read a couple of verses here if you'd like to follow along. Psalm 89, we read these words, beginning in verse 6. Who in the skies can be compared to the Lord? You look up, the gods of the universe, no one can compare to him. Who among the heavenly beings is like the Lord? A God greatly to be feared in the council of the holy ones. Awesome above all who are around him. Yahweh Elohei Sabaoth. Who is mighty as you are, Elohei? Your faithfulness is all around you. God is awesome. We use that word. We talk about pistachio ice cream as awesome. We use that word to describe just about everything. And we have kind of downplayed the significance of that term. Does this word mean that God is cool? God is the creator of all this organized cosmos, this universe. And he is worthy of our praise as we come into his presence and magnify, enlarge his name by our praise. Sometimes, though, I think we forget who is the real focus of our worship. And it doesn't matter what we're wearing. What matters is what's in our heart, ultimately. That needs to be the focus. There are those in the Bible who sometimes came into the very presence of God. And I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 19. Exodus 19 tells us about the ancient Israelites coming out of Egyptian bondage. They have been enslaved for centuries. Generations have known nothing but slavery. And so when they come into the wilderness and they're going to worship God, this is what they are expected to do. We'll start reading in verse 9 of Exodus 19. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am coming to you in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with you and may also believe you forever." Verse 10. Moses told the words of the people to the Lord. Verse 10. The Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people, consecrate them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their garments and be ready for the third day. For on the third day, the Lord will come down on Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people." They are going to be in the presence, the actual presence of God himself. What are they expected to do? "Oh, come as you are, guys. I am a come as you are God. You just come on out and it'll be fine." Have you heard that expression? People talk about going to church and don't dress up. Just come as you are. Does this sound like God is a come as you are God? I'm not so sure. In a sense, yes. Just as I am, I come. We sing that as an invitation song. We're sinners. We're all sinners. We know Zeke and I, we quote Romans 5, 6 through 8 numerous times. We are all weak and yet God, who lavishes love on us, He sent His Son. He died for us to save us. Scarcely would a righteous man would one dare to die. But God shows His love. He commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We weren't pretty or pristine. We were ugly and marred by sin. We're all coming to God just as we are. But ultimately, the blood of Christ cleanses us and changes us from the within. And God expects us to come to Him and give our best to Him. Wash those clothes. Part of this is ritual purity. And that is something that you're going to see throughout the law of Moses. It's going to also be an issue that Jesus will contend with the Pharisees who have taken it too far, ritual purity. They don't even want to touch anyone they perceive to be a sinner. And again, they took that definitely too far. We do want to be holy in our lives, but we must understand that it's most importantly about the heart. We serve an awesome God. And so I want to stray over now to chapter 20. And I want you to look at verse 18. it says that all the people saw God. They saw the thunder and the flashes of lightning and the sound of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And the people were afraid and trembled. And they stood far off and said to Moses, "You speak to us, we will listen. But do not let God speak to us, lest we die." Do you think they understood that God is an awesome God? They were terrified at his presence. God demands that we give him our best. And I think we should consider that in regard to our attire. Something to think about. Again, nowhere in the Bible does it say, "Thou shalt wear coat and tie on Sunday morning. Thou shalt wear a nice, pretty dress." And through the years, as I have interacted with people, I have observed this. There are those who are very staunch on that. It's part of our culture, and that's how they grew up. And the ones who are most adamant about wearing your suit and tie on Sunday morning, they say, God deserves our best. But it seems that they worship a different God on Sunday night or on Wednesday night, because then all of a sudden they're wearing the polo shirt or they've lost that tie and coat. What is it that's so special about Sunday morning? Is it that we worship a different God? It's our culture. It's the expectation that is there. So does that mean we just take it and throw it out the window? I want you to think about this. You have at workplaces casual Friday. Well, what does that imply about Monday through Thursday? There's something special about coming to work dressed up. And what employers want their employees to do is dress well so that they will work well. Because when you dress sloppily, habitually, you work sloppily. Is there a principle, maybe, for how we worship? When we come in sloppy and haven't taken care of ourselves, we haven't really come to God expecting that we're going to be honoring him by our hearts and lives, of course, but also by what's inside. And so God is really after our heart, ultimately. We want to give him our best. Whatever your Sunday best is, wear that when appropriate, knowing that we are in the presence of our awesome, all-powerful God. And so what I'd like to do for just a few minutes as we think about how to please God, I want us to remember that even King David dressed his best. Here is the king coming into the presence of God. 1 Chronicles 15 tells us about David and how he was bringing the ark in. What did he dress in? He clothed with a robe of fine linen. It is the same man, David, who at the very close of 2 Samuel 24, it is recorded that he said, "I will not offer burnt offerings and sacrifices to God that cost me nothing." He revered the Lord God. And he wanted to respect him in every facet of his life. No wonder David is called a man after God's own heart. All right, so what are we going to do? I have some suggestions I'd like to make as we close this morning. We're going to try to make our assemblies something special. And may we consider, first of all, let's dress up. Whatever it is that you feel like you need to do. Obviously, it's going to be modest. It's going to be not too tight. It's going to be long enough. We understand that. That's a given at this point. We're Christians. We're professing godliness. And so that's how we're going to dress. But what about making sure that we look nice? Today, when we are talking about the Lord's Supper, we well address the issue of how we look when we serve. And this is something that is near and dear to our eldership's heart. They are concerned about that. In our world today, we are dressing down. Did you know that it used to be when people went to a football game that they wore ties and shirts? Did you know that? You can see pictures from the 50s and 60s and not anymore. In our assemblies, it has definitely affected how we dress. Something for us to think about. So maybe we could make a conscious decision to dress up in our assemblies. I also want us to think about how important it is that we always welcome people, no matter how they are dressed. Turn with me to James 2 for just a moment. You know these verses. I even alluded to them in the Bible class that I'm teaching on Wednesday nights this past week. James 2 talks about partiality. It's a sin. And so you've got somebody who is wearing beautiful clothes. He's got a gold ring on his finger. He's obviously well-to-do. And what do we do? We really gravitate to him and say, come sit over here in the best place. But in contrast to that, in sharp contrast to him, there's a poor man who comes in. So verse 3, you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, sit here in a good place. But to the poor man you say, you sit over there or sit down at my footstool. Have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? And so he goes on to say that these are the ones that are poor in heart that God is really focused on. Verse 5, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he has promised to those who love him? You have dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich ones who are oppressing you? He talks to this audience of Jewish people in that community. Can you imagine somebody coming to our assembly who isn't appropriately dressed? Well, they don't know any better. They have never really been in an assembly. Aren't you glad that they're here? They have actually crossed the threshold and made it into an assembly. They're interested. They're curious. They want to learn about serving God. And that leads me to a third suggestion I'd like to make this morning. Let's build relationships. You see somebody that you think doesn't know better. Build a relationship with them and get to know them. Could we read a few verses from Titus 2? Titus chapter 2 talks about the influence that the older will have on the younger. And I think it's important that we show the way, whether it's about dress or maybe it's about parenting, Bible study, all sorts of issues. And we kind of have that touched on here. Verse 8, it says the older women are to be reverent and of good behavior themselves. The end of verse 3 says they are to teach what is good and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, the younger men, and so he goes on to talk about how they need to be self-controlled. Show yourself, he says, Titus, show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works. And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may not be put to shame, but have, and they have nothing evil to say about you. We lead by example, but we can also take people aside and try to influence them and encourage them, build a relationship with them. There are those who they haven't been properly schooled in how we're supposed to do church. And of course, I say that in a rather sardonic way. Ultimately, there isn't a rule book that says this is the proper attire. But I dare say all of us understand the importance of giving God our best, dressing appropriately and modestly. Because what God is ultimately after is our heart. Thank you for studying with me on this little unusual issue as we apply principles from God's Word. I remember it like it was yesterday. A young man, when I was just a teenager, sat in the back and he was wearing a hot pink muscle shirt. And so sleeves are cut off here and wasn't very modest. Certainly wasn't appropriate. That young man came back in the evening. First time he had ever been in the assembly, and he was wearing a nicer shirt, and he obeyed the gospel. And that young man who just happened to be at a very low point in his life, came into the assembly, didn't know any better. For the past 25, 30 years, he's been preaching the gospel. Has a wonderful family. And it all started by wandering into the assembly. And somebody took him aside and taught him. If you know that God wants your heart, and your heart is not right with him, I want you to think about, as we're about to sing a song of invitation, getting your right heart with God. Because that's ultimately what he's after. And everything else will permeate from that. You may want to pray in the solitude of your heart. You may want to ask for the prayers of the saints for God's forgiveness. And we will be happy to assist you in that regard. Maybe you've never named Jesus as Lord and Savior ever. You have yet to be baptized for the remission of your sins. This invitation is also for you. And we plead with you to make your way to the front right now. Let's stand. Let's sing.